Okay, I want to carry on the halachas of Ilchas Tefillin. There was a couple of points which I wanted to clarify, and I'm very grateful for bringing the Tefillin in today. Thank you very much. I just want to show in terms. Do you mind if I undo it? Okay, so firstly, we spoke about the. This is a really beautiful tour. We discussed the. I just want to show this because it is very common. It's a bit noisy. How do you do that? Can you mute? Thank you. So what we discussed was the width of the ratzuas. Now, what is very common, I just want to point this out, is by the various areas of the... This is a very light shear. This is the common and the normal shear of the width of the tefillin. It just needs to be taken into consideration that often the places where you wrap the ratzuas, sometimes it gets, you'll see splits on the sides, as well as thinning on the side. There you've got to make sure that you've got at least 1.2 centimeters of a full ratzua, of a full shear. It may pass the ratzua if you don't have that shear. So again, contrary to previous generations, our ratzuas are much thicker and therefore much better. But still, you've got to make it. They sometimes get, but tefillin shaliyad not so much. Do you mind if I take it out? So, but tefillin shaliyad, it is fairly common that in some vulnerable areas, such as here, or such as the area that you tend, here, these are beautifully black, these are excellent, but sometimes you'll feel on these spots over here, you've got to double check that you've got the minimum shear of a sa'ira, ka'ir sa'ira, which is over here, that you got at least 1.2 centimeters. He may invalidate the ratzuas otherwise. Now, in terms of the... So that was point one, which I wanted to show. Another thing, just in terms of the right place of the tefillin shalosh, we spoke extensively about the Mokum Anochas tefillin, or tefillin shalosh. So, in terms of the front, the bias, as we said, it's got to be by the starting of the hairline. But in terms of the back here... This is where the skull, this is still in the place of the skull, and this is going to be in the groove. So if this is a dalet, which it is, you got this still on the skull. This is on the skull, the bottom part of the skull, and this will be in the groove. As opposed to this in the groove, and this lower down.
Is that possible?
It's the wrong place. It's the wrong place. It's no point showing on me because it's not attached to my, it's not made according to my, but it just, yeah, maybe I will attempt to show. So what you want is this to be like this, right? If you hold your head straight, it's going to be like this. I don't know if you can see at all, but that's the right location. Like this. So that's important to keep in mind. In terms of length of the ratzua, we discussed that, the length of the ratzua, we spoke about that as well, and I believe there was one more point, but in terms of the mishapech, as we mentioned, this is fine, because it's black on both sides, but turning upside down, especially with the tefillin shalosh, if you put them on even like this, and you don't realize, that would be what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about. About having either to fast or giving some tzedakah. Okay, now there was one more shaila which is not discussed in the Mishnah Berurah that itself requires. Yeah, that's it. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah. Now there's one question which is not addressed in the Mishnah Berurah. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, and it's a mystery. It really is a mystery. It's a mystery why it's not mentioned in Mishnah Berurah. It's only brought in much later poskim. I believe before the Chazon Ish, nobody mentions it. And that is about washing hands. We discussed it when we spoke about Hilchas Netilas Yadayim and touching uncovered places uncovered areas of the body, that you've got Chiyuv Netila after touching uncovered areas of the body. So the question is, it really is an enigma, it's a mystery. How come that after putting tefillin, Tefillin Shel Rosh is not such a question, but certainly Tefillin Shel Yad, this is a Mokum Mechusa. For most people, the area over here is an area that you normally tend to have covered. Why is it, therefore, that after putting on Tefillin Shel Yad, you don't have to go and wash your hands?
This is
it remains like if you touch another part of your body, you'd go and wash your hands. So why is this suddenly not a problem? It's no, there's no way. I mean, and some people, when I discussed with some people, somebody claimed, and I know they are wrong. Some people claim that, yeah, you've got to be very careful when you put on tefillin shaliyat. To me, it's inevitable that you're touching your skin when you're putting on tefillin. It's not possible. I don't think it's possible. I've tried it. Yeah, so the hair, you could argue perhaps a bit more lenient, perhaps. Because it's perhaps you're not touching the mark, you're not touching covered areas, you're always touching areas which are considered, you know, mokum magula, perhaps. But certainly here, there's not. So I did see this Shabbos Kodesh, I saw big chiddush. So Chaznish Taka washed his hands, and I saw one of the Choshev Yekesh Rabbonim of just the previous generation, Daim Posen Rabbi Yomi Posen, he said, he did himself, and he said, name of his father, Gershon Posen, was dying in Frankfurt in Germany. They used to have a little bit of water, a tiny bit of water, like a little, like a Kiddush cup. You know what I mean? Like a tiny Kiddush cup of water, where the tefillin. And after putting on tefillin, he would dip his fingers in, he would wash his hands. By the chazan. Right, I don't know why the chazan more than anybody else. But I thought this was one person who was like a machmir on that. And I understand certainly the reason why people are machmir. I don't understand, on the contrary, why we are all lenient in this matter. I don't know.
Up to which point is it where you can touch and where you can't?
So I would say, so certainly from the elbow down is fine. It's considered a revealed place. But further up, it depends on people. If a person has short sleeves during the summer, then you could argue until the normal regular place of a short sleeves is. But it's probably above that a little bit. It's probably a little bit above that.
Isn't that just interesting
when there's hair, because that's where sweat will be? Yes. Like
under the armpit, if you put it in there, then fine. But for there...
Yeah, so the answer is not really. The places which are in that particular society considered covered are considered covered. Never mind... It's covered. It's not directly connected to Mokum Sale. It's not directly connected.
The rubber keeps a bit of unvarnished wood.
Yeah, so some people do that because it's true. What you're referring to is correct. That there are people you will see doing that. They, since this is all about potential dirt that is here. That's why why covered places you have to wash your hands afterwards. So that the Shulchan Aruch did teach us that if you rub your hands, that's considered good enough. You don't really need water. So some people will do that after putting on tefillin. It's true. But here again, it's true. It's a chum, and most people are not makpin on that. Okay, I just want to raise that question. Yeah.
Surely if someone wants to wear all the time, always wear long sleeves.
Yeah.
So you could argue in the whole
lot. Yeah, so the answer to that is, a good point, very solid point. The answer is that even people who are very makpid on wearing long sleeves, and will never have short sleeves, even they are not going to consider the covered area over here. These are going to be areas which are as embarrassing to have revealed. They like it like this, for whatever the reason is, but it's not considered. They would, under circumstances, they would have it revealed. It's not that it's a lack of... They just do it. It doesn't mean that it's not for sneers reasons that they do it. Yeah. Does that make sense? It doesn't become because of that. Okay, good. Very good. Yes, so you are basically quoting Reb Shlomo Zalman's approach. Absolutely. Reb Shlomo Zalman says that since you're doing a mitzvah, it becomes for that, you've got to do the mitzvah, so because of that, it becomes an uncovered place, because you've got to do it for the mitzvah purpose. Similar to, and the comparison that Shlomo Zalman says by Bismillah, you're also allowed to recite the bracha, the moel and the aviyah ben recite brachas in front of a baby who is completely undressed. Normally you wouldn't be allowed to recite the bracha. How can you recite the bracha in such a situation? So the halacha is you can recite because that's the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah to do a Bismillah. So it's a bit of a comparison, although you could question the comparison, but that's a little bit. But there may be such an approach. But if that's the approach, what I find hard to understand is about putting tefillin back. If you're taking tefillin off, that's not part of the mitzvah, taking tefillin off. So, all right, okay. I'm just raising that as a question mark. Let's carry on a bit. Simon Chofres, dinei chalitzas tefillin.
So there's a lot of person has to touch the tefillin at all times. So a person should not detach his lapse of concentration of his tefillin whilst he's wearing them. A person must have a consciousness, an awareness of his tefillin when he's wearing them, of the kedusha of the tefillin. In fact, he's wearing something very holy, something very important. He must concentrate about it. He can't just forget, oh, I forgot I'm wearing tefillin. And therefore, a person should touch the tefillin. Shulchan Aruch's word is b'chol shah. What does b'chol shah mean? Touch the tefillin, b'chol shah. What does b'chol shah mean? Literally means at all times. What does he mean? Alach lemaisis if cotton aleph mishdubu b'chol shah perish b'chol shah sheniske b'hem chav lemashmi. Whenever you are referring to the tefillin, whenever you're mentioning the tefillin during davening, such as b'enecho, during Shema, during various other locations in davening, when you're referring to the tefillin, chayev lemashmi, you should touch the tefillin. The alidei ke nizker alein todir, you're gonna when you mentioning it, tefillin, it's. Yeah, that's right. We are more visual learners, you know, by touching, by feeling, we're going to think about things. Nizkarin, you're going to remember it. And I will help you not to have, what did you say, Robert Feingold? Lapse of concentration. Additionally, it's a good point of, it's good to ensure they haven't moved all the way to South Africa kind of thing. You know, you're making sure that they're still there. So it's good, it's a good habit to touch the tefillin. There are people who disagree with the Mishnah Berurah. If you talk to some batimachers and to some soifrim batimachers, they don't like it so much. They say by the over touching of tefillin, if you're not soft and gentle with them, by over rubbing and over touching, but the Maximus Shabbos says one should touch and it's good to touch and one should do that. How did they fulfill the touching or the Le'asiach Das? Yeah, so that's exactly what they were on a higher Madrega, we're talking about centuries ago, and therefore they were able to do it. Us, that's precisely the reason why we don't wear tefillin all day, because we would inevitably Le'asiach Das. So it's got to do with the other Zeres. Nevertheless, Mishnah Berurah does point out Shleisach the Mishnah Berurah cotton base over Eisat Tefillah and Tzorich LaMashmish B'hem during the Shemona Esther and during Shemona Esther, but Eisat Tefillah is referring to Shemona Esther. You don't have to touch the Tefillin. It's good habit to touch the Tefillin during other parts of davening, but not during Shemona Esther. Okay, V'Mashmish Shliyad Chila. Whenever you touch the Tefillin, touch the Tefillin Shliyad first. When he said the word you obviously touched the tefillin shel yad. And when you mentioned the first ben necha, you touched the tefillin shel rosh. We carry on. Siv base tefillin shel rosh cholitz tchilo. Now it comes to taking tefillin off. Which tefillin do you take off first? Tefillin shel rosh. Because it says in the pasuk to the first benecha, kol zman shebenecha, as long as tefillin are between your eyes, you shtaim. There should be two, to the first, plural. So you make sure to take tefillin shel rosh first. But what do we do before taking off tefillin shel rosh? That's right. It says in the Mishnah Berurah cotton, hey, choleitz techilo acha after shemesia sholish krichois meetzba. You first unwrap the three wrappings from your fingers, then you take off tefillin shel rosh. We carry on. Tzorech lachot tefillin shel rosh me'umad. You take off tefillin shel rosh whilst you are me'umad. Standing. Here comes a facet. Standing, covered. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says over here something very, very interesting. Rabbi Stein, the third line of Sifkot Nevot, Mishnah Berurah says, V'yesh me'achachomim, a beautiful minik, which I believe is unknown, was unknown to me. V'yesh me'achachomim, there are some wise men. Shor yunagin, lach lo yitzat tefillin shel rosh, some wise people have the custom of taking off the tefillin shel rosh, biyad smol, with the left hand. Shehi biyat kehei, which is the weak hand. Why? Why do you take off the tefillin with the left hand? That's it. It's your custom. Very nice. Very choshuv. The Chachamim do it like that. Leharois shekoshel mechalitzason. You take off the tefillin, very beautiful minhag. You take off the tefillin with your left hand, which is your weaker hand. Because it's hard for you to separate yourself from the tefillin. You don't do it with a swift action, you do it with a slow, a more dysfunctional, slower, more, because it's a weaker hand. Yeah, but I must say, I'm just thinking now, as we're learning this, I actually think it's a bit hard for me to understand that, because I know there's halacha, which says that you shouldn't have tefillin dangling. We're going to learn that later. This halacha, you shouldn't have to, what you're not allowed to do is have tefillin dangling, right? So you don't hold tefillin like this with one hand. If I just let go now with my left hand, I just hold it like this. You're not allowed to do that. It's not, you're not allowed to have tefillin dangling. So I'm just thinking now, you always, so by definition, what does that mean? That you always wear, you always hold the tefillin with both hands. That's what we teach from mitzvah boys as well, right? You always hold the tefillin with both hands. You always hold tefillin with both hands. You could in theory. Yeah, maybe that's the answer. Because I'm questioning now, if you've got to hold the tefillin with both hands, so what does it mean you're taking the tefillin off with your left hand? So what does it mean? You mean but the bais is with your left hand? So when your bais is with your left hand, is that how you do it, yeah? Your bais is with your left hand because that's your weaker hand, and you hold the knot with your right hand. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, there you go. Okay, that's the way to do it. That's the way the Chachamim do it. Is that the expression? Yeah, I don't remember that expression. I hear. Yeah. So now, what if somebody's left-handed? Of course. If somebody's left-handed, he does all his actions with his left hand. You take with your right hand. That you should not do the taking off the tefillin b'mehirus with swiftness.
So for me, with my melachto, right hand.
Well, you can't get it right, my friend. You won't be able to get it right. It's one of those things. You won't be able to get it right. Yeah. So, yeah, I suppose. It depends on... The hand that you don't put the tefillin on. No, on this, you should take it off, I suppose, with the hand. It should be consistent in line with the way you put your tefillin. Yeah. Okay. Now the Mishnah book Shulchan Aruch continues. V'yaniach batik shel rosh ve'olav shel yad, kedei sheyavoy la'anicham yifoga b'shel yad tchila. Now the tefillin bag, Rabbi Yisai. Now we are addressing the question of the tefillin bag. Shulchan Aruch says v'yaniach batik shel rosh. You should put it in the rosh ve'olav shel yad. And on that, you should put first the tefillin shel rosh, and then afterwards, on top of that, you put in tefillin shel yad. Why? Of course, kedek shiyovol yanicham. When you actually tomorrow you're going to put them on again, yifoga b'shel yad chila, you should encounter, meet, and bump into the tefillin shel yad first. We learned why is that important. Ein mavin la mitzvahs. You should make sure that the tefillin that you're going to put on first, which is the tefillin shel yad, is encountered first. Which therefore means you put the tefillin shel rosh deeper down in the bag, and the tefillin shel yad further. Closer. There are some beautiful minhagim in that. Are these a Chabatzka tefillin bag? Which one is it? That they are done not like this, but a different shape. They go more like this. You've seen those tefillin bag? I think it's very nice. And so you literally have the tefillin shel rosh after the tefillin shel yad. That's very much in line with the recommendation of Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Why do you put that
considered
the same level?
I don't know. No, it's true that the tefillin, they have more kedusha because there's more parshas in it. But I don't know about putting them on top. I don't know. Rabbi Yisai, finally for this evening, minag chachamim l'nasiv gimel, minag chachamim l'nashik atfilin b'shas hanuchoson. There is a minag of wise of the chachamim. It's wisdom. I don't know. It's interesting. It's wisdom. L'nashik atfilin to kiss. The tefillin b'shas hanuchoson, when you take the tefillin, when you put the tefillin on, b'shas chalitzoson, when you take the tefillin off, you kiss the tefillin. Very nice. That's it's a nice minute to kiss the tefillin when you take them off, when you put them on. Why? Obviously to show the love of tefillin.
Interesting. I want to point out, and we're going to leave the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Tesfot for tomorrow, Mitzvah. There is a fascinating. I saw a couple of days ago that Rabbi Heinrich Padva used to say, the old Rav of London, not the current Befayim Padva, but his father, Rabbi Heinrich Padva, he used to say, I saw this quoted. He used to say, he used to say that one should not. He remembers that in early generations people were careful not. I'm saying that again. Not to kiss the tefillin shel rosh when you're taking them out of the bag, because it is considered a hefsek. So don't kiss when you take tefillin shel yad. You kiss it and you put it on boch, etc. Then you take tefillin shel rosh. Many people have a custom to kiss the tefillin at that point, in line with the Shulchan Aruch we are seeing now, that it's nice to kiss. So he said, no, you don't kiss it now, because it's a hefsek. And Gdolim used to be makapit on that, because it's an interruption. I hear that, it's very nice, very, very nice, it's chosh ve'ora, and they said that Gdolim were makapit on that, and they used to spread the word, that one. I don't know how they fulfill the Shulchan Aruch, the Chachamim says, I don't know how they fulfill that.
Just by one.
Maybe perhaps like that, or maybe just with a tefillin shel yad. I don't know. A question mark. Interesting. Rabbi said there is more halachas on the wrapping of tefillin. But that we're going to leave for tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay. To summarize, we'll discuss this evening. We spoke about the importance of the obligation of being mashmish between bechol shonot and shmoyin eser, but during other times that whenever tefillin are mentioned, you should kiss the tefillin. We said that one should take off tefillin shel rosh first, and we also spoke about the minhag chachamim to kiss the tefillin by taking them off and by putting them on. Okay, I wish you a very good evening, Abbasai.